Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
My name is Benedicta and I'm from First Love Zurich in Switzerland. Today I would like to share a testimony about how Prophet greatly affected my life when it comes to honoring our fathers. I had the privilege to grow up with my father and we had a strong bond and a great love. But growing up, when you become a young lady, there comes a time where you think that you know what's best for you and you know what's good for you. This led to a disagreement between me and my father when it comes to a specific subject. Well, my love began to grow cold towards my dad, and I only honored him on his birthday and Father's Day because it was my duty to do so as a daughter. Funny enough, in that season, Prophet began to teach on honoring our fathers. He began to teach us on the importance of receiving blessings from our father and the danger in getting a curse by being disobedient. This kept working on my heart, and the Holy Spirit kept knocking at the door of my heart to change my ways. But I became more stubborn and thought, no, when it comes to this subject, I know I'm right and I know my father is in the wrong. But Prophet kept teaching on it, hammering and emphasizing on the fact that it's important to honor and also obey our father's words. God being so good, the Holy Spirit broke through my stubbornness and I gathered my strength and gathered my energy to obey Prophet's teachings by honoring my father and obeying what he wanted me to do. From that time on, my life transformed. I received so many blessings and favors and breakthroughs, and my relationship with my father became wonderful. Our love has grown stronger. Our bond has become tighter, and the love is so beautiful to see my father's heart turn back towards me. Prophet, I would love to take this opportunity to say thank you to you. Thank you for teaching us on honoring our fathers. It brings so much blessings that we cannot imagine. Today, I want to honor you, not only as a prophet, but also as a father to me. God bless you and never stop teaching us to do the right thing. God bless you. Bye.
Hi everyone, my name is Stuart from the First Love Church, Martinique in the Caribbean. Happy Father's Day, Daddy. And on this special day, I would like to share my testimony about how through your teachings, my relationship with my dad has changed over the years. I joined the church when I was 16 years old, and since then up till now, I can pinpoint several changes between my relationship between me and my dad that have come as a result of your teaching and encouragement to be our parents' darling child. And the example I'm going to share today is about how my dad always seems to want to ask for my opinion about certain things before he does things, and it's almost like I've become his personal consultant or his personal advisor, which wasn't the case before. But every time he's about to do something, whether he's going to travel, whether he's buying something, he always just wants to message me or call me, and he won't do it until he hears from me. He always wants to know my opinion, whether he should do it or whether he shouldn't. And that's a real testimony for me. It might not sound that significant, but it's just an example and a testimony of how through your teachings, our relationship with our parents can change. I would like to encourage everyone who doesn't have a good relationship with their dad, or even who does have a good relationship with their dad, to even go even further and attempt a great thing to be your parents' darling child, your father's darling child, which I believe I am, even amongst my two other siblings. I really strongly believe that I am the favorite, and it's all because of your teaching, Daddy. So I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank God for your teachings. God bless you and have a happy Father's Day.
And I knew for sure I was loved.
Father, thank you for the blessing you've given to us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in your homes, everywhere you are watching. Thank God for today, a wonderful day. I just found out that it was Father's Day when I came to church. That's amazing. All right. Now, it's time to give an offering, and I want you to just listen to something in Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the God of the Hebrews." Amen. Say, "None of mine shall collapse." Yes, no matter how many businesses collapse, no matter how many shops collapse, no matter how many jobs collapse, none of yours will collapse. Say, "None of mine will collapse."
None of mine will collapse.
Amen.
Amen.
None of your incomes will collapse.
Amen.
Now, Moses said, if you refuse to let them go and hold them, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, and upon the horses and the asses, and upon the camels, and upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, and there shall be a very grievous murrain, or storm, hail, destruction. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is of the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, "Tomorrow shall this thing be." And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Say, "None of my businesses will collapse.
None of my
jobs will be lost." So, this is a tragedy, a worldwide pandemic-like experience that happened in the world during the time of Moses. All right? A pandemic is an epidemic which has panned the whole world. So that's why it's called pandemic. It's a medical terminology. Epidemic, when it's declared a pandemic, then it's moved from epidemic to a pandemic. So it's just the extent. Pandemic means the whole world. So the WHO were waiting for a certain number of countries to be affected to declare it a pandemic. But before, it was just an epidemic. So when something involves the whole world, then it's quite different. And in the time of Moses, there was a famine in the whole world, at least the known world. Okay? And everyone was affected. So now in the time of Moses, the Israelites were having a problem. And the problem was affecting the world where they were. So everybody was going to be in trouble. But God made a difference between the businesses and of the Egyptians and the businesses of the Israelites. Today, he's making a difference.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I just want to say something. There are many things that God gives us as signs. Signs. And it's important for us to notice. When the Lord appeared, the angels appeared to the wise men. They said, "You go to Bethlehem, and then I'll show you a sign. You'll see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes is not unusual, but lying where the animals feed is the slight variation you are supposed to notice as a sign. Otherwise, what's the sign about it? Babies are babies. So what God is saying is that he wants you to look and see. There are signs in your life. And there comes a time where we must begin to see certain signs. They are tokens for good. They are signs. This small difference, this small thing, is a sign from God. Now, this one was a big sign. All the cattle and the business and the businesses of them. It says the camels, the horses, the oxen, the sheep, the cattle, everything from the Egyptian side was going to go down. But your side, not even one. Amen. So I want you to have faith. Now, when you go to church, you have to believe there's a great God. Yeah. And that there's a supernatural power that affects everything. Do you see? And you have to believe that, I mean, God is in control. Nobody can die unless God says it's okay to die. Nothing can happen unless God even allows it. And your finances is also in his hand. Your money, your future is controlled by him. So you have to come trusting God. And as you trust God, God is going to make a way and is going to help you supernaturally. Now, I thank God that I'm a believer. Because if I was not a believer, I would be an unbeliever. And if I was an unbeliever, I would not be a good unbeliever at all. It would be. There are so many things. Oh, who said that, you know, you're whatever, God is going to help you. Who said that this? Oh, but this one, if you work this, if you do this, that. There are a lot of reasons, but it's just the way you think. That's why people have arguments. I choose to attribute everything to God. Amen. You choose to attribute it to your hard work, to your health, to your good diet, to your luck, to your family's good traditions, and what? Education. Your education. You have chosen. Yeah. I choose to say, God made heaven and earth, and my life is in his hands. So today, this cattle, you know why Pharaoh's heart was hardened? Because when the thing happened, he said, oh, this one, it's possible that it was an epidemic that just ended here. It was possible that this, it's possible that the rain, because we can drive from Dansoman, the rain will stop. Then it is not raining in Kaneshi. It's raining here. It's not raining over here. We've seen it. So, I mean, if it happened here and our cattle died, it's just unfortunate. Maybe next time they will also have the unfortunate whatever. So I'm just saying that there's a way you can explain away everything. You can explain away prosperity. You can explain away God. You can explain. But I choose to trust in God and to attribute everything that I have and every situation that I believe God is in control. Amen. So today, as we come to give our offering and our tithes, I want everyone everywhere to believe that God is the one who can make people give unto you, even in your work. Do you know that when your bosses at a certain level, when people decide to increase your salary or when certain jobs are accepted, it is a person giving something to you. Yes. Because everybody who is in my employment is something I'm giving the person. Because I can take it. If I'm not giving it, if I'm giving it, means I can take it. Yeah. I can take it back. I can say, I don't want to employ you. It's true. I've changed my mind. I changed my mind. I wrote to you a letter. I gave you a job description. I changed my mind. I write another letter. I can lay you off. Yes. I give you whatever is legally required. A few days, you go off. And that's it. So in that sense, there's another sense in which I've given you something. Yeah. Yes. So there's a lot of giving And the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. So it means give and maybe your job will even change. Yes, a job can be given to you. Shall men give to your bosom? Men will decide. So somebody decides, employ him. Oh yes. So it was my CV. My CV was very well written. Oh, I answered the question. I wore a suit for the interview. The others were wearing jeans. I wore a suit. That's why I was taken. Yes, my employment history. They liked my accent. And so on. They were looking for an African. Yes. They were looking for a white man, a person. That's why they were looking for this. Look. The Bible says, give. And it shall be given to you. Yes. Good measure. And I'm saying this because I am an employer. I have employees in many countries. Yes. All right? And I can take back my employment. If I give you a Bible, I can take it back. Yes. And it's very possible. So, employment we are now seeing is also part of Luke 6:38. Give and you shall be employed. Give and you shall be promoted. Give and things will change for you at your workplace. Give and people who don't like you will start liking you. Because for somebody to give you something, he must like you. It's up to you to believe. But you can also put it on your own good work, your nice face, your nice whatever. But I choose to believe that if I give, it shall be given to me. So I want everyone, I believe that this is one of the reasons why people don't go into full-time ministries, because they don't believe that God supplies and God can supply. They believe that this earthly whatever will supply. And I want to say something, you know, as you go along in life, you'll find that God strikes at things you trust in. Yes. If you were part of the flow prayer meeting, we started on the final quest. I believe we are going to continue. But when we started, we got to a point, the angel told him, when you pass through this door, you will not trust anything again, anybody, not even yourself. There's a realm where you learn not to trust anything, but you just trust God. So I want us to have that kind of trust when it comes to money. That God can actually make you rich. God can actually cause people to change their minds and decide. You know? One day I went to see somebody because I was in some difficulty and I needed the person to help. When I got there, the person saw me. He said, ah! I didn't know him so well. I didn't even know how his reaction was going to be. When he saw me, he said, ah! You are such a great man. Your book that you have written is so amazing. Please wait. I didn't even have a chance to talk about what I was going to talk about. Then he came to present me with an offering. He said, let me give you this offering. Which was, I don't want to talk about it. He said, I want to finish with this. I'm so happy that I've seen you. Okay, what is the issue? I didn't even have time. I was stunned. Yes. It's going to happen. So it's like God touches people to even like you, to listen to you, to give to you, to employ you, to help you, to do whatever. Yeah. I sat there in amazement. I'd rather come with issues. And the person, they didn't even allow me to open my envelope to bring out my papers. He just said, sit down. I'm so impressed with your book. He said, I read this book. I want to honor you. I'd rather have to sit down and wait for him to do all his things. That's going to be your testimony too. So give and it shall be given to you. And I believe God is going to do wonders. So, as you are giving, don't think you are giving to help anybody. Even if you are giving to help, it's a good thing. But that we are giving to help to build the church. We are building churches. During this season, I cannot bother you with details, but we are building churches everywhere. Yeah. We have never built more churches at the same time as we are building now. Actively. Actively. We have never, since the church began, we have never been involved in more building as we are involved in today. In the pandemic. Because none of our cows have been affected by the murrain. And our camels. Yes. None of your businesses shall collapse. I prophesy over everything you are engaged in. Nothing shall collapse. Even if the whole world collapses, none of yours shall collapse. In fact, it shall increase.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want everyone everywhere, take out your offering. Take out your... I want us to specially try to sow good seed. 100 CDs. 1,000 CDs or $100, your currency, 100 rands. I don't think 100 rands is a lot of money. 1,000 rands and 100 naira too, I don't think it's much. I don't think 100 naira is much. Please, if you are in Nigeria, 100 naira is not enough. 100 rupees, is it a lot of money? No, it's very small in India. Every giving, everywhere, 1,000 or 100, let's believe God. 100 or 1,000. 100 or 1,000. 100 or 1,000. 100 or 1,000. None of your businesses will collapse. None of your work will collapse.
Amen.
None of the sources of income will collapse.
Amen.
If you are, God is blessing you through your uncle, it will not collapse.
Amen.
Through your grandfather, it will not collapse.
Amen.
Through your auntie, it will not collapse.
Amen.
Through whatever, it will not collapse.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Every giving on your mobile phone. If you don't know how to do, get your child or anybody who understands the technology to do it. All right. Even I have even developed into mobile money. Amen.
Amen.
So that's amazing. So take out. We can't give physical money because of the situation. We are not gathering yet. Amen. All right. We are not gathering. When they open the White House for tours, we will also open. When they open all the other places that they have closed, then we will also open. All right? Amen. You know, the problem we have is a problem that all the world leaders are struggling to grapple with. So it's not something they fully understand. Everything they do is in response to something that has never been seen before.
Yeah.
So we have to understand the different decisions. Yeah. So with time, things will be okay. Amen. So take out your offering. 100, please. Don't say you are in London. You are, instead of giving 100 pounds, you are giving 100 CDs. So that's, you are dividing it into the currency. That, when you went to earn pounds, why are you changing it into CDs now? Huh? That becomes 15 pounds. Believe God to sow a good seed. Amen. And there are so many buildings, all right, and projects that I believe that we are doing that I'm sure you can see God is doing wonderful things. Amen. So give. You see it on the screen, how to give. Mobile money, this money, that money. So many complex words. Follow one of them. Follow anyone that you like. Look at this. But we don't know where this is, please. All right? So, yeah, these are all different countries, buildings. We don't know where it is. So, okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. So let us believe God for blessings. As we build the church, God will build our houses and our homes and our lives. None of your homes will collapse. None of your businesses will collapse. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you as we present this offering. In the mighty name of Jesus. Kadola mashandola berekibo ramandali mamandala baba hero bandali bede de benere le menende ba kadori mandala ba Mala mandali morabele de bede de bede de bodo shondole mande. Maro mandali baremene de bede. Fera mandolo madore mandeleba. Fara mandali badebere de bekemonda. Avara mandala mandobere le venede de. Fara mande la mashandola bakasanda laba. I pray kabazoda tamanda lebere de bele. Mando talamade. Shema katalabadese. Tabere mandali mandeleba kabaya. Makasonta la bende la masanda. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I pray for the work we are doing, Lord. Araba kasando, paramido, talamide, menderede, balomara, taromende, feremanda, talabara, shedalamanda sandalide. Use them. Bless them. Paromako tashandele makabaranda liba. Paledare mandala baba. I pray. I intercept wickedness directed at the finances. Natola maka. Koramande zebedido laramande de shira la madabaza. Feramandali taramandole bazadalike. Kura ketezendo talagaze tabajinde. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Kadamando shadebe. Lift your hand in your house. We pray over your money, your incomes, your finances, your financial situation, anything that concerns your well-being, your wealth, your possessions, your property, your houses, your cars, makasha, every source of stress, every source of concern, every danger to your life, to your family. Paramoge satalamana, by this offering, we declare divine protection and covering against every wicked and invading power and force of devastation in the name of Jesus Christ. Devastation will not affect the finances any longer. None of our things will collapse. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would dance with me, hold me in his arms and play with me.
He'll make up songs and sing to me. Then lovingly he would hold me, and I knew for sure that he loved me. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I love, love, love to dance with my father again. Mm-hmm. Back when I was a baby girl, before I was too heavy to be lift me high, and he'd smile at me. Oh, how he loved me.
He gave me a name that meant so much to him. Then prayed for me and spoke good things over me. And I knew for sure that he loved me.
If I could get an extra hour, an extra day, some extra time with him. Oh, how I cherish the moments we shared. And I love, love, love
Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Well, it's Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers watching us and joining this service live. God bless you for all the things that you do. We honor you today. I thought you would clap or at least agree or amen. And well, we've come to the most important part of the word, of the service, and also the word, which is when our Father speaks to us. Amen. And we are about to hear what God has for us. And today is Father's Day, so it's only fitting that we hear from our spiritual father, our father in the faith, our father ministry, and the person that God has set over us. Amen. Jeremiah said, the children gather wood, but the fathers kindle the fire. And so today we've gathered here like pieces of wood to be set on fire by the spiritual father that God has sent to us. Are you excited? I can't hear your excitement. Are you excited? I can't, cameraman. Are you excited? Thank you. Thank you for joining in. Amen. And so stand to your feet. Lift up your right hand as we declare in faith that nothing is impossible. How many of you have something in your life that you feel may be impossible? Sometimes you feel. Now lift your hand, and as we receive the prophet, we are singing this song in faith that says nothing is impossible. Amen. Do you believe it? Now I want you to think about that particular circumstance that looks impossible. Lift your hands and declare, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Come on, cameraman, lift your hand and sing it. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word. Dancing start if you don't mind. Hearken to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything
Oh, every day, yes, every day is possible.
This is not the time to eat. Put your food down and sing. Nothing is impossible.
It's impossible when you put your trust.
Come on, let me hear all your voices sing.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God to thee.
Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
One last time, let me hear you sing it.
Oh, everything,
yes,
everything is possible
with God. Come on, put your hands together as we welcome our Father, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah.
Father, thank you for the blessing of this time. Guide us by your mighty spirit. Lead us into all truth. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated if you have a seat. Please don't eat lunch now. Do not. If you are eating, stop eating, please. And if you are moving around, I need you to settle down in the house. Don't do anything else, because if the president was going to speak, nobody will be moving around. Everybody, if you go to a function, the president is coming, you have to go before. When he comes, there's no movement, there's no activity. So please, I'm not the president, I'm talking about the Lord's word. The Lord is speaking to us. Amen. And I believe that Jesus is greater than any man. So now, today, I want to share with you on what it means to become a shepherd. I have a book like that. It's called this. It's one of the most important books I ever wrote. Yesterday I was reading it and I was blessed. I started reading myself. I normally don't read my books, but I started to read it. And I was blessed. I thought I just wrote it. Especially some of the things that are written in it. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was surprised that I wrote these words some years ago. Yeah, it's as if, you know, whatever. Now, why I believe that everyone listening must make it your aim to become a shepherd before you die. All right? In the church. Are you trying to say everybody should be a pastor? Everybody should aim to be a pastor. When you go to the bank, you don't aim to be the cleaner of the bank. When you go to be in a hospital, you don't aim to be the cleaner of the hospital. You aim to the highest. Now, Exodus chapter 19, it says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. This is where God met with Moses. And they were departed from Rephidim. All right? And they were come to the desert of Sinai. And they pitched in the wilderness. And Moses went up to God. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse number 6. Okay? And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Amen. Amen. Now here you see the children of Israel came out of Egypt, which represents the world where we are saved from. Then after that, they came through different experiences. They came to Marah, where the waters were bitter. God said, I led you here. So you may be going through a bitter experience and you'll be wondering, the devil took over my life and brought me here. But God told them that I brought you here to test you, all right, to see your reaction. Because sometimes it's not even what has happened, but the reaction to what has happened is what is the issue. The reaction to what has happened. Then, after that, he took them to a place called Rephidim, where there was no water. Okay? And there also, no water, no bread. And there also, they also behaved badly. So your responses to all the events reveal something about you. Now, God tells his people, okay, and we all know that Israel is an example. We are also Jews. Romans chapter 2, I think verse 29. We are Jews. And so what happened to them happened to us as examples. Romans 2, 29, he's a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, all right, in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise is of, not of men but of God. So he is a Jew who is one inwardly. So we are Jews inwardly. All right. Now, what happened to them happened to them as examples for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that these things happened to them as examples. So now we see that God takes them from the world, brings them through different experiences. Okay. And then he now comes to Sinai, which is where he's about to give the 10 commandments. Like he's now going to express to these people what he wants from them, or what he wants, how he wants to relate with them. Right. Are you with me? Yeah. There he tells them that you have seen how I brought you. Okay. Verse 4. What I did to the Egyptians. So sometimes there's somebody in your life and God is saying, you see what I did to the person. Do you see? You see what I did to the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings. So, you know, all these, I kept on saying, you can easily be with God. You will not notice all the things that God does. You won't notice them. You won't even acknowledge them. That he bear you on eagle's wings. Scripture, please. All right, you see that he bear you on eagle's wings. He carried you and brought you to myself. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, then he says, now therefore, all right, if you will obey. So, okay, all the bad things have happened. Now he's giving us a new chance, a new slate. He says, if you will obey my voice. Okay, and keep my commandment. Okay, then what's going to happen? You become a peculiar treasure to me above all people in the world, for all the earth is mine. So you'll be special. One of the ways God loves you is to make you special. Now, verse 5, then he says, and so as a result of your obeying me, after you've been through Marah, Rephidim, all these different experiences, you will become a special treasure unto me and a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests, of pastors. A holy nation. Like the whole nation is just priests. Yeah. Everybody is a priest. So you see that people act like, why do you want everybody to be a shepherd? But you can see that God's plan and desire is that you see how I've rescued all of you and I've brought you this far and I've done so much with you, I've carried you, what I did to the Egyptians. Now I'm going to make you, if you obey my voice, the whole country will be full of pastors. Yeah. Is it not amazing? Shepherds. Everybody will be a shepherd. And then you will say that, then who will they, if they are shepherds, who will be the sheep? But you see God's desire. He wants everybody to be, and you still stretch out your hand. People don't listen. Even if God wants everybody to be saved, you see few people will even respond to all that big call. Okay? So, it is important that we grow in our understanding of what God actually wants. That he actually wants everybody to be a shepherd and a pastor, a kingdom of priests. It's actually what he wants. And that if you obey me, you see what I've done, you see what I did to this, you see what I've done, and how I carried you and I brought you to this place. Okay, now if you follow me, everybody will be a priest. That's what he's saying. If you follow me, everybody will be a priest. Everybody will be a shepherd. Everybody will work for me. To be a nation of priests. And you'll be special. You'll be special. So when you are a priest to God, you are special.
Hallelujah.
Yes. You are special. And you see that, I mean, when you stay along, you know, when you go along in life, you will find at different times, you'll see that in as much as people despise the job, it's also a greatly honored job. Yes, it's true. People look down on it, like they don't want to do it. But with time, you realize that it's a greatly honored. When there is a real crisis or a certain, it's like, where's the pastor? Yes. And the first person I saw, you know, who showed me that a pastor was quite significant was my own father-in-law. When I was much younger, and I would go to him for when he was having a celebration of some sort, he would have the priests sitting with him. He's a businessman, but he has a priest, or only his Methodist priests. And then I would sit at the back with the children and say, no, I should come and sit with the priests. I'm his bishop. Amazing. It was one of the first inklings that I had that to be a pastor is actually a great thing or an important thing, even to the secular world. They look at it, they realize that, like, you're a pastor. And in certain countries, when we travel, you see that they have a great respect. Yes, some don't, but some do. Yes. Are you with me? So, God really, really, really wants us to become shepherds. Okay, so I want to share with you what it means for you to become a shepherd. What it means. That I have a book entitled What It Means. Most of the bishops who are bishops today, pastors, have been trained on this book. Okay, very important. Don't think you know it. If you knew it, you would be bearing the fruits of it. Mercy. All right. Now, today is Father's Day. Now, when the people complained, Numbers 11, verse number 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them. And the people cried unto Moses, verse 2. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord was among them. Taberah means burning. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lasting. And the children of Israel wept again. Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was as delium. And the people went around about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses also was displeased. Now listen, anybody you lead, if it's only one person, the person is complaining. it has the most negative effect on the leader, if it's only one person. Yes. Now, Moses was just walking through in the evening, and he heard the people in their tents complaining, and whips of them were crying. Why are we here? Our lives are spoiled. Can you imagine how Moses felt? And you feel like you are the one who has destroyed people's lives. You have spoiled their lives by bringing them here. And Moses felt terrible. Moses felt terrible. All right? When you hear people complaining, murmuring, if you are a leader, consider it as a leadership emergency. Yes. No one complains about you without having an evil spirit. Yes. It is the evil spirit that destroyed the whole of Israel in the wilderness. It was the reason why God put them out. All the 10 spies who went, they all complained against, they murmured. They said, no, 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 no. They spoke quietly behind Moses' back. That's human nature. If you are a leader, it's normal human nature. But that's how it is. And it's not easy to lead people like that. That is why, to be in full-time ministry, we often encourage people to be lay people first and to work and also to finish their school. Lest later you come and you say, oh, if I hadn't whatever, when I came, I would have done my master's. I would have been a PhD holder. I would have had this by now. By now, I'd be earning 5 million. Do you see? By now, you're all gonna see this. By now, I would have been here. I would have been the principal medical officer, the senior technical officer. I would have been the headmistress, been earning this. I would have been having this. Those type of complaints, it's like a swarm of evil spirits coming. So you say, hey, you know something? Develop your life. Yeah. Develop your life yourself. And achieve whatever you can achieve by yourself so that you achieve it. And as time goes on, people realize they are not achieving all those things that they thought they were going to achieve. But we do that so to deliver ourselves, because I cannot lead people who are complaining about me. If I find that you are complaining about me, my instant reaction is I want to detach from you. It's like a ship connected to a harbor. Disconnect me so that I float on the sea. Away from your voices and away from your words and your feeling. Because it's a negative feeling that is in you. It's a demonic feeling that is within you. And it is expressed because you can't see demons. And those demons destroy. Those demons destroy. They are destructive. Are you listening? Yeah. So, Moses, look at it again. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was, God was very bored with them. And Moses was not happy at all. Now, Moses decided to pray about it. And verse 11, Numbers 11, verse 11, Moses said to the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Why have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people on me? Is that what cursed? Is that, Moses thought he was cursed to have to lead such people. He was not saying that. Why have you afflicted me? Like, what have I done that you're giving me such a responsibility to lead people that are not happy at all? All I've done for them, all I do for them, they don't appreciate it. Yes. And you see, many people don't appreciate when they are being led. Do you see? And if people were to choose their leader, okay, they would not necessarily choose a wise man. They would not necessarily choose a leader. If people choose, most people would choose somebody who is friendly. Somebody who is affable. Check it. Affable. They will choose somebody who is approachable. Affable. What is the meaning of affable? Friendly, cordial, warm, pleasant. Somebody likable, sympathetic, and benevolent. Sympathetic, benevolent, and someone easy to talk to. This is what they will choose. Good natured, a buddy buddy, a people's person. Yes, that's what democracy is about. It's not about being somebody who is doing the right thing. We are crossing the Red Sea. We are escaping chariots. We are fighting against Pharaoh. We are not going to be slaves. We are moving through a desert. We are going straight. We are not going right. We are passing through here. We are going on a war. We are fighting with this group, fighting with this group. We don't have an army. We were in Egypt without army. We never fought before. How do you want us to kill ourselves? But you see, a friendly person, affable, generous, benevolent, good-natured, hospitable, buddy-buddy, is not going to lead you necessarily through the wilderness. True or not true? Yes. It's true. Friendliness. That's why slums spread over. If you go through Accra, you see slums spread over. Because, yeah, the person who will stand, you think that there is no appointee in the nation. The person who will stand and say, you can't put a slum here. He needs to be friendly, pleasant, affable, and what? Approachable, benevolent, welcoming, hospitable. That is why in front of Accra Mall is turning into Nima. Yes, it's turning into Nima now. Into a slum. And the person who will say that this grass that has been planted, you can't do this here. Doesn't exist. But he's paid. Yeah. So he says, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? That thou layest the burden of these people on me. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. When should I give flesh to these people? They weep unto me, they say, give us flesh. I am not able to bear all these people alone because it is too heavy for me. You see, Moses said that I can't lead these people. I can't do this work again. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy eye, let me not see my wretchedness. Now you see, this making Moses pray in a funny way. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it is the pressure and the burden of people that he's leading. All right? Now, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather me unto me 70 men. Of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over thee, and bring them to the tabernacle that they may stand there. Verse 17, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Wow. Okay? So the burden, being a shepherd, is sharing the burden of people. So God, thank you for Father's Day and telling me happy Father's Day and so on. But he said, Moses said, where did he say that? Am I their father? Where is it? Verse 12. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father, not mother, nursing father. Because there are some people who are mother fathers. There's mother fathers. They are like nursing fathers. Yes, they are like both mothers and fathers. beareth the suckling child. Yes, fathers who are bearing the suckling child, they are like mother fathers, eh? Famothers or mofathers. Nursing fathers. Beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest. Amen. Amen. Now, thank you for that good wish. But I am telling you that God's wish for you is that there will be also 100 people that look to you and say, my father or my mother. Yes. Yes. 100 people that look to you. And when you say the word father or the word mother, the only person they can think about is you. Yes. That's what it meant for Moses to lead these people as a nursing father who has breasts. It means that motherly issues and fatherly issues were combined in one prophet. And he has to carry these people through. But God said, look, it's a lot. Even when he prayed, afflict me, you have afflicted me, you want to kill me, and all that. God didn't say anything. He didn't say he's not right. He said, get 70 people who are going to carry the burden of this burden of these people. And it is truly a burden. And you, if you live your life according to what God wants, you will by all means come to the place where when somebody says the word father, there's only, you come to the person's mind, or mother, or if it's a famother or mofather, or a nursing father, you come to the person's mind. Yes. And you see, if that does not happen, you have not fulfilled what was written about you. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 verse 16. It tells us that everybody has a book. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Amen. My book. So there is a book for everybody. And in that book is written your destiny and God's wish for you. God's wish for you. What is the Father's will for you? Amen. Amen. Even Jesus, when he came into this world, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, had a book that he came to fulfill. He said, therefore, in verse 5, he came into the world and he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. In the volume of the book, which book? The books that are written about you. Before this world began, these books are written about you. Amen. Are you listening? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul was speaking. Amen. And he said, speaking of God, he said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ before the world began. There are works that were written in the volume of the books that are there about you. Before the world began, you are supposed to do certain things. And if you do them, do them. If you will not do them, it is up to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I would like to read that myself. Beautiful. Now, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, okay, sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. He had an opportunity to enter the temple. Amen. Now, above is two seraphims, special angels. May God send special angels into your life. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory." And then when he spoke, the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Yea, woe is me. Amen. For I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal. And he said, a live coal in his hand, which he had taken. And he laid it in my mouth and said, "This has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity," or your perversion, your twistedness, yes, is taken away. During the flow prayer meeting, when we are going to be praying about some of those things. Now, then I heard the voice. You see, they were discussing in heaven. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, not talking to him. They were talking in heaven. I overheard. It's like, or he was eavesdropping, or he was around in the temple when he had a discussion. Yes. He had a discussion in the heavens, in the eternities. Deep, deep things. And he had them discussing. "Whom shall I send?" You think if God wants to send you, he'll ask you. He had, there were councils and discussions in heaven about who to send. Who could possibly go? Who would possibly do this work? Before, you see, these are before eternity began. Before this world began. Yes. Written in the books. Written down before, purpose before the world began. This world, you see, this world is not 6,000 years old. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 is 6,000 years old. But from chapter 1 verse 3 is 6,000 years old. But this world, everybody knows, is billions of years old. Yes, everybody knows that. Any history, any museum, all the museums, what they show, it's far from beyond Genesis 1, when God made the earth and there was life, whether as we know it. It's far, all the animals we have before thousands of years. When you go back all the years, you don't get more than 6,000 years to Adam. It cannot be that. Before this world began, it's talking about since we started. And we can see that we are heading towards a cataclysmic conclusion of this world. Yes. Isn't it easy to see? Yeah. The world is heading to an end. Yeah. Who shall go? So there's a discussion in heaven. And they are discussing. And before the world begins, who will go? And when he heard it, he said, "Here am I. Here am I." He announced to the people that "I'm here. Wow. I'm here. I'm also here. What about me? What about me? What about you becoming a shepherd?" Instead of just focusing on your life, Jesus said, "If anyone comes unto me, let him deny himself, say no to his life, and take up this great work, the great work of becoming a nation of priests." Amen. So from today, no one should tell me that I am talking about being a shepherd too much or trying to let everybody be a pastor. I am trying to let everybody become a pastor. It is an aim I have. Yes, it's an aim I have. It's not something secret. It's not a hidden motive. No, I'm trying to follow what I can see as a divine plan before the world began, that will be a nation of priests, a peculiar treasure, an unusual nation. Yes. So there's nothing, don't be surprised if you come to the church and everybody is a pastor. The ushers are pastors, the singers are pastors, everybody is a pastor. It's a nation of priests. Hallelujah. All right? So you need to have and accept the burden. So I want to ask you on behalf of the Lord, will you accept this burden that Moses came to share to the 70 elders? Will you accept it? And Jesus also came and also had 70 people, eh? Yes, and he shared his burden with 70 more. Yes. He came and shared his burden with 70. I want to tell you, all of you, get involved. I mean, I'm not the only one who should go around preaching. He had 70 people and he shared. They said, Charlie, look, let's all work because I'm not here for long. You know, if you can just go and help so that things are faster and easier. And they went out two by two. Wherever he was going to go, they went out. So I am making a special invitation to everybody who is watching that Jesus asked me, I believe, to ask you if you will please volunteer and sign up to become one of the shepherds, one of the nation of priests, so that a Father's Day will be celebrated in your lifetime and there will not be less than 100 people, even at your age. You will not be calling, it's not about you calling people, my son, hey, my son this. It's like people, they will only know you as the only possible mother. When they say mother, even their biological mother will not come to their mind. It is you that will come to their mind. Because you have become a nursing father to them. That when they say the word father, they say, father, this one is my father. They cannot deny. You know, sometimes people are having weddings, the biological one will be there. But they'll say, you know something, father for father or mother, this one has been my mother. Unless this one comes, I can't do the wedding. Because if you say mother, this one, yes, maybe I didn't come out of the womb, but that's my mother. Yes. So God is asking you today for enlistment. Whoever you are, Mr. Businessman, Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Nice Person, Cool Life, Good Life Person, everything is wonderful. There are people waiting and hoping that you will enlist and accept this burden. Because it's a real problem to lead people. Human beings are problem. My mother, you know, years ago, I asked her, she's always helped in the church. Do you understand? Yes. And one day I asked her if she can do something. Anything I asked her, she would do. You know? And she said to me, I will. If it involves things, I do everything. But with people, I'm not able. The people part. And if you can do all that, about the cabinet, paper, this, I'll do everything. Yes. But people are difficult. Yes. And look at these people, they were crying in their tent. And Moses heard it, said, oh. And they were talking. One of the wildest things is when you hear of what somebody has said about you, that the person, they didn't know that you ever hear it. Or they didn't know it would ever be reported. That's the most painful one. When you hear, you say, oh, this is what you really think. Because when these people see you, they don't say what they think. They say nicely. Oh, so you are my father. But when you hear, this is what you said. Wow. Wow, it changes everything. Yeah, it changes everything. And Moses had it. He had to say, he was passing by. You know, can you imagine tents? I don't know if you've seen tents, like army tents, here. They're all camped with fires. And everybody was in his tent. Then he was walking out. But you won't see that there's somebody walking outside. And as he was walking outside, then he heard some people cry. Because sometimes somebody's crying in the room, you can hear outside. And tent is only a cloth. And when he's in a tent, you will hear something walking out. Shh, shh, shh. So he was telling you, and the husband would shout, shut up. So that this Moses, this man, he has destroyed her. Ooh. So then he go to another place and he hear them talking. He said, oh, I'm the one. Look how they're talking up. He said, everybody in that happy days, I said they want to kill him. When they talk, they maybe if it was today, they'll be sending messages. WhatsApp will be exchanged all over. Maybe then somebody sends the WhatsApp to him by mistake. He said, that man has bought our life. Yeah. Movement for going back to Egypt. Movement for the return to Egypt. Yeah. So, how many are going to enlist? It's quite a difficult job, but I believe that it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it. And people really need the Lord. Amen. Now, seven reasons why pastoring people is a burden. It's all in the book. I wish I had more time so that I could share with you more. But very quickly, people are a burden because they are ungrateful and forgetful. Is that not so? 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. You know, I thought I just wrote this one last year or this year. But it's right here. And I'll read it to you. It says, you notice ungratefulness in people by the way they complain. Moses led the Israelites out of bondage and slavery, yet they murmured and complained bitterly against him. Even Aaron even had to make a golden calf to calm them down. That when something minute goes wrong, you may be surprised at the actions of people you have ministered to. Many easily forget what you have done for them. This is because the things a pastor does are often not physically tangible, but spiritual. Most tend to think that the pastor has done nothing for them. Others go a step further and commit evil towards you after you have been a blessing to them. Don't be shocked. Jeremiah, the prophet, experienced the same thing from his people. He said, Jeremiah 18:20a, shall evil be recompensed with good? Jeremiah 18:20a. Once a pastor told a very disturbing story. He said he was surprised when one of his church members came to his house one night to assault him. He couldn't believe that this man whom he had led to Christ, trained up in the Lord, blessed his marriage, helped him to various crises, has come to his house to attack him. Dear friend, don't be surprised. Do not expect gratitude from man. Expect your rewards from God. Hezekiah was blessed, but he rendered not again. That means he did not show gratitude for all the blessings he had received. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. I might as well just read the book to you. Yeah. Yeah. Number two. Point number two in my book. What it means, sharing the burden. Chapter 3, I think it is. Yeah, beautiful. People are a burden, chapter 5, because they will betray you. Yes. Though Judas walked and ministered with Jesus for 3 years, he eventually betrayed him for a small amount of money. Betrayal is part of ministry. It is also a part of life. If you have yet to experience betrayal, I can assure you that you will. The disturbing thing about betrayal is that it is done by people who are close to you. You are not greater than your master Jesus. The fact that someone may one day betray you makes it very difficult for you to happily interact and flow with them. Look closely at the ministry of any great man of God. You will discover that they have all had their fair share of traitors. All of this contributes to the burden and difficulty of ministry. Psalm 41 verse 9. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, we did eat bread of my bread. He ate of my bread. He has lifted up his heel against me. Number three. I'm reading. Normally I don't read, but I'm just reading my book. People are a burden because they are wicked. 2 Timothy 4 verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's a curse right there. Yes. The Lord reward. In other words, the Lord reward him according to his works, which is wickedness. I have experienced wickedness from people who have lifted themselves up to fight and oppose me. There are times when my ministry and very existence, my existence, have become a source of work for such individuals. Their work being fighting, slandering, and that of opposition. Like, my existence became work. That was all that, that was the only thing they were doing. Yes. Without my existence, I'm reading, I think some people may not even have a job to do. I wrote this book about 20 years ago. And it's true today. If you are not resolute in ministry, you could easily decide to leave these harassments behind and move on to a more peaceful existence in some secular job. Yes. It's a prophecy. Number four. People are a burden because they can abandon you suddenly. Paul experienced sudden desertions by some of his colleagues, like Demas. I remember one young man whom I trained. He was about to take up an important position in the ministry that we have been preparing for about a year. We were preparing for about 1 year. On the day he was to fulfill the position, he suddenly informed me that he was leaving the country. I couldn't believe my ears. All of our months of preparation meant nothing to him. He just abandoned ship without notice. These experiences are all part of ministry. Abandonment also occurred under the ministry of Paul. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me. Because people can abandon you at any time, it is burdensome to lead them. But God wants us to help share the burden of his people. God wants us to be involved in his work. God wants us to be shepherds. Number five. People are a burden because they are equalizers, disrespectful, and impudent. Numbers 12 verse 1. And Miriam and Moses speak against, Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses. A man and then a lady in the church, and a man speaking against the Lord's anointed, meeting together and talking. Yeah. And then they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken? We are all men of God. We are all anointed. We are all called. That's how people, even if they don't say, that's how they think. Yeah. Well, who are you? We are all called. We are all prophets. We are all whatever. Oh. And Miriam and Aaron, closest assistants and closest relatives, were now speaking against Moses. They most probably said things like, God also speaks by us. Are you the only one? With time, familiarity creeps in and people now consider you as an equal. They tend to think, we can all do it. What's the big deal? You are no different from us. This is unfortunate but real. People easily take you for granted. They murmur and complain against you, forgetting all that you have done for them. Their Father's Day, they will be honoring you. When they lose their temper, you will find church members speaking to you as if you are a little child. Yeah, people get angry. You know, everything is okay till people get angry. I'm talking about why people don't want to do pastor shepherdoria work. Because the people you are leading, every single one of them has all these potentials. One church member approached her pastor after Sunday service. The pastor thought she was about to compliment him for the powerful sermon he had just preached. She started, Pastor, you know something? I felt I should tell you that you remind me of my father. Oh, really? The pastor was happy. The pastor responded, really? She continued, he was so full of himself, my father. He was so full of himself and so are you. You are full. You feel too big. The pastor was taken aback, but he had to smile and continue as though he had received a compliment. Well, they have insulted him well. Huge. The church member was telling the pastor exactly what she thought of him. This is why people are a burden. Numbers 16 verse 1. Now Korah, Dathan, Abiram rose up before Moses and said, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Why do you lift yourself up? Why do you feel you are too big? You are forming a cult. Number 6. People are a burden because they are disobedient and rebellious. Samuel confronted Saul and asked him why he had not obeyed the Lord fully. One of the difficult things every pastor will have to come to terms with that is, in spite of all the good things you preach, many people are still disobedient and continue to live in sin. I used to be amazed at the extent of spiritual rebellion found in the body of Christ. 1 Samuel 59, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Number 7, people are a burden because they do not understand and they do not respond. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Sometimes people do not understand the word, and often they do not understand why you have to do something like fundraising. Many times I've had to explain to people that they are giving to build a nice church where they can have their weddings, their baby dedications, and their other ceremonies. Leading people who have all the above characteristics, ungratefulness, disloyalty, lack of understanding, etc., is a major task. One person cannot do it alone. The burden must be shared with others. Sharing the burden is hard work. The people will be angry with you for trying to help them, but people need help. Even when you try to give it to them, they attack you. Hallelujah. So, being in the ministry, amen, is a very important thing, and I believe that God wants us to do it. Now, the burden, all right, must be shared, because in the end, we have to answer for people's souls. And I don't want to answer for everybody. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Yes. I want to share the burden so that when they come and say, when this, I say, this one is the, call him. Call him. Call her. So we must all take 100, 100, 100, 100. And then we share the burden. What do you think? Hebrews 13 verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Okay? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to you. So people, we are going to give account. I'm going to give account for you and for everything that I'm doing. I will account for it. And that's a big responsibility. It's huge. And God wants all of us to give ourselves wholly to this great work, the work of becoming shepherds. Now, I just want to say, as I come to the end of my short sermon today, if you have not come to the place where somebody, you have become somebody's father, nursing father, I dare say you have not really fulfilled your duty and your call to become a nation of priests. Yes. I don't mean friends to people. I don't mean friends to people. It's nice that you are friendly, affable, welcoming, approachable. Huh? Sympathizer. I'm talking about becoming someone who's like, you know, one of the things I find out, sometimes people send me messages. Thank you for sending Bishop so-and-so here. Thank you for sending this person here. Because the person I've sent has become a father to the people there. Because you don't have to say, I'm a father. Being a father is not by calling people my son. Listen to me carefully. You rarely hear me calling people my son or my daughter. It's not part of my language usually. Occasionally I may say that, but it's not common. So my son, come here. My son. These are my sons. And so on. No, 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 no. It's reality. It's not about calling, you know, one day even a secular person called me and he made a comment. He said, this person likes calling people his sons. You know, it's like people even notice who are not Christians that people like calling people their sons. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it was not in the church. No. He says they always call everybody his son. So what I'm trying to say is that don't have to try to call people sons. If they are your sons, you see a son, you see the son by the sonship activities. Yes, you can call. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. There's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying that let it come naturally. You see, you don't have to say it for it to be real. Sometimes when it's not real, that's why you always say it. Well, you are trying to let it be so. But it's not also really so. Are you with me? So God is calling you to join, amen, to take up the burden of the people. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ had a burden. Chapter 6 of my book. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. I want you to pray for a burden. And I want you to see that it's something that Jesus had. Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Amen. Jesus is moved with compassion for people's lives. Amen. Amen. And look at your life, even in the, you're a young person in the church. I mean, already there are so many problems. Can you imagine what it would be like when you are 30 years old? Can you imagine what it would be like when you are 35? I mean, even at this age, there are so many issues. You are not even 18. You are 21. And there are so many things. So many things to make you cry, to make you sad, to make you unhappy, to make you depressed, to make you have a face, a mood. Everything has come at this age. Can you imagine what it's like as you get older? That's why sometimes when you see elderly people at weddings, when you preach, everybody is laughing. You would think they don't understand. They understand what you are saying, but they are not moved. They are not moved by the things you are saying. They just look at it. They just look and say, oh. This. Yeah, they look as if they don't understand. Or as if they don't heard what you said. They understand it. They hear, but they have seen so many things. They've seen so many things. It's like what you are saying. As the person say, I love you. You are this one. They say, call out the name of the person. They'll say, my sugar, my sweetie, my darling this. Everybody will be laughing. They'll just be looking at it. They don't understand English. Most of the time, you think they don't speak English. But they speak English. And when you finish, they get up to go and sign. They can write and read. But it's not funny to them. Jesus was moved with compassion. He looked at the people with feeling. And I don't mean loving them to be their boyfriends or girlfriends. There's a difference. You know, a father doesn't go towards his child sexually or emotionally in that way. Emotionally, yes, but not in that way as a boyfriend or girlfriend. So if you are feeling certain things towards, it's not shepherdorial feelings. It's not shepherdorial and it's corruption. It's corruption. Yes. That's not being a shepherd. Yes. You have to distinguish. And if you say, I'm going to visit, and it's not a shepherdorial visit, then be truthful with yourself and tell yourself what is happening. It's not shepherd. I'm going on shepherding. Your mouth like your mouth like your nose. You are a monster. That's what you are. You are a monster going to destroy people. Yes. And they will curse you. Even if they don't curse you, they will curse you in their rooms. Yeah, they will curse you. And you will see unexplained things. Yeah. They will curse you in their room for their lifetime. Because you destroyed their lives. Yeah. It's true. So, I mean, you must have feelings for people. You see, when you develop the feeling as a shepherd, you cry for people even. You cry. Things will pain you. Things will hurt you. You start have feelings for people to be... You know, when we are praying for 190 nations, I think about people. Sometimes I think about little people. You know, some are being sold. Some are being maltreated. Some are like animals. I tell you. It's very wild. People really, 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 really are hopeless without a shepherd. Yeah. And you know, we are so selfish that me, my family, my children, my that's why you see that one day you may see that your children are turning into something. And then you wonder that all that you've done, the toys you bought for them, the comics you bought, the videos of Abraham, videos of Moses, videos of what they have watched all. Yeah, and still they are changing. And they are becoming something that God wanted you to help somebody. But you wouldn't help somebody's child. You're just buying Abraham video, Moses video, crossing the Red Sea video, comics, piano lesson, violin lesson, everything to secure your two or three little ones. And God has 1,000 little ones without anybody caring for them. And he wants you to extend your, open your heart a bit, open your soul a bit, add some people to your life. Become a mother, become a father. But you wouldn't be interested in that. You want to make your life something beautiful and special, unique. Then you see that God said, you wouldn't look after my... Okay. That's what Jesus told Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? You love me. Feed my lambs. Even she said, he left the sheep, said, they be my lambs. Tell them Bible stories. Feed them. You wouldn't do it. And they will only look up to you and remember all the days of their life. This one, you know, my wife had a teacher, Sunday school teacher. She always will talk about this Sunday school teacher who took them around for evangelism. She always remembers this man. He took us here to sing, teaching Bible, all the time. She always remembers this man. I've never seen him before, but she only talks about him. Yeah, they will always remember you. But you wouldn't, you know, your special life with your family holidays and your special things, you, my family and I, nobody can come, nobody can do this, you don't have time for this, don't have time for that, you know. Beautiful. Hey. Paul, Romans chapter 10, he also had a burden. Amen. But even Jesus, before, he never wanted to lose anybody. He said in John 17, verse 12, he said, those that you gave me, I've kept them. None of them is lost. I fight for them. None of them was lost. I fought for all of them. None of them is lost. Nobody is lost. I can ask everyone. It's only the son of perdition. That one, I cannot save it. Only the son of perdition. You know, all my pastors, my shepherds, bishops, pastors, leaders, members, I always fight for them to not to lose even one. Even when people have some one pastor left, yes, he came back. I said, come, it's okay. It's okay, come back. All of them. Bible says that not even one was lost, only a son of perdition. I believe that it's very few people that can be lost. If you can fight and if you can try. You see me trying, you see me calling, you see me working, you talking, try. No, no, don't be lost. Don't be lost. Because the devil is gaining. The devil is gaining. The devil is succeeding. The devil is succeeding very wildly to destroy lives, because it will only end up as a tragedy. Yes. I've never said no to anybody who came back to me. No. Anybody who comes up. Who am I to say no? Sir, come. Even last week, somebody comes, sir. I'm back. I said, yes, come. Come. None of them is lost except the son of perdition. So only son of perdition who are very rare. It's a rare thing to be a son of perdition. Even Jesus cannot control you. Yes, nobody can advise you. Even Jesus cannot advise you. Jesus' shepherding skills are not able to save you. Wow. So, finding people, keeping people together, keeping a family, fighting, restoring, keeping, helping. God is calling us. God is calling you. And I cannot do it alone, because each person needs sometimes a 3-hour meeting. Yeah. You will not even check the time, but you see that 3 hours have gone by. The issues don't, they cannot be solved in 5 minutes. Have you seen a real issue that is solved in 5 minutes? Yes. Nothing like that. That is not an issue. And in Bangkok, there are people waiting for you. In Bolivia, there are people waiting for you. In Chile, there are people waiting for you. Everywhere, that Vietnam, people are waiting. All over. Burma, Cambodia, Kuala Lumpur. I know one Ghanaian pastor, he had Malaysians. Young Malaysians. Yes. Yeah, they were waiting. I always remember Keith Green's song. Keith Green had a song. He said, yeah, they are waiting for you. You know, you sent your magazines, you sent your tapes and so on, but you didn't come. You sent your magazines, you sent your tapes, you sent this, but you yourself, you never came. Jesus had a burden. He had a burden. He said, I've tried to get all. I didn't lose anybody. All the same way, Thomas, Peter, this, I managed to keep on. Even you watch me. He was telling, I lost you, Lord. After the betrayal, no, I will send Peter. After the betrayal, I will send him. This was his prayer, Matthew 17. He said, when they finish betraying me, say they don't know me enough. I will see that I will manage to maintain and add him in spite of everything. Oh, that's a shepherd. Shepherd. So many more people would be saved if you were to not be as selfish as you are. Yes. So many people. You know, I met some of our pastors. Some are even bishops now. They were telling me how they got saved. When they described their lives, I say, hey. They were waiting. They were waiting for the church to come, for the shepherd to come. I had nothing to do with their salvation. I never saved them. I never preached to them. They were preached to by breakfast meeting organized by the church. Breakfast meeting with sausages and eggs organized by the church. When they ate the sausage, they ate the egg, they ate the bread, they drank the tea, then the preaching came and they got saved. And today they are bishops, they are pastors. Hey! What a blessing. I've not lost. So Jesus had this compassion and he's calling all of us, the whole church. Nobody should say that I'm trying to make all people as shepherds, because I am. You don't have to say it, because I am doing it. It's open. I've said it myself. Don't have to even say it. Do you want everybody? Yes, everybody. Yes. A nation of priests. It was the aim of God for saving them, carrying them on eagle's wings. It was to make everybody into a priest. Paul had this burden, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire. Amen. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You wonder why he has such a desire. Why doesn't he desire money? Why doesn't he desire food? Why doesn't he desire prosperity? But his heart's desire is for a country to be saved. Just a country. A nation. That's what he was thinking about. Why can't you say, oh, that was Paul. Paul is one of the baddest people. His badness was huge. Your badness is very small. His badness was huge. But he was always thinking about Israel. Why don't you also think about a nation? Why don't you also think to Lord? And even maybe God puts it on your heart. And you say, God hasn't spoken to me. One day I read Kenneth Hagin, or was listening. Either reading or listening, one of them. But Kenneth Hagin said the Lord appeared to him, an angel. And the Lord told him, you know, this week I've been speaking to you about this. And he said, yeah, the whole week he had been thinking about something. Not knowing that was the Lord speaking to him. So as he was having thoughts, it was the Lord speaking. So it was in the vision that he said, this whole week I've been speaking to you. I spoke to you 3 times about this thing. And it was like that week the thoughts had been coming to his head about that thing. So the Lord said, I spoke. It was the Lord. And another time he was in the room and he felt there was somebody in the room. And he said, the Lord said to him, yeah, it was my angel. I was there. My angel was there. But because you didn't flow, he left. Yeah, it's like you didn't believe in. I said, I don't believe. It's just a spooky feeling. There's nothing spooky. They are real things. Because you are. They said, my servants are blind. They are hearing, but they are not hearing. They are seeing, but they are not seeing. Listen to the call of God, the burden of God. The heart of God. God loves you. God wants loves people. And he is calling you to have that burden and share the burden. The burden of the people. The difficulty. People who are ungrateful, they don't even know they are being ungrateful sometimes. Later on, they realize that I was ungrateful. So it's difficult to carry some ungrateful person. But that's what the burden is. That's the trouble we have. It's difficult to carry traitors and treacherous people. Wicked people, ungrateful. But that is the work. The work. There's nobody sitting here, there's nobody watching who doesn't have those characteristics. We all have it. Some manifest it faster, sooner, more, earlier, surprisingly, but it's a manifestation. Paul had a burden. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 10 and chapter 9, but chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. I said, I'm not lying. I'm not trying to say something to let you feel, you know, like I'm very spiritual. No. In verse 2, he says, that I have great heaviness and sorrow in my heart. Amen. Verse 3, go on. For I wish I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen. Change the version so we can understand it. Some people don't understand it. I wish I myself were accursed and separated for Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. It's like if I should even be cursed so that they will be saved. I would like it. That's a deep thing, eh? That's deep. I should even be cursed so that some people should be saved. Yes. So I want to open your heart today and say, let us develop a genuine burden. And let's pray for it. So during our flow prayer meeting, we understand that we have to pray for a burden. Do you see? So that we have that genuine. Because I can tell you that I am not preaching because somebody is paying me. I'm preaching because the burden is real. It's genuine. I feel for people. They are not my biological, but I have feelings for them. I feel for people. I feel for lost people. I feel for people who need shepherds. I wish people had pastors. Loving shepherds. There's a song we wrote, Loving Shepherd. Loving Shepherd. When I needed you, I needed somebody to talk to. People don't have anybody to talk to. They put on Oprah Winfrey to watch, to get advice on TV. They put on comedy show. They show Mr. Bean to make them laugh. I'll be there. May God touch you with this burden. And I want to say that if we love the Lord, we are going to rise up and become great shepherds. So I hope in this series of what it means to become a shepherd, that by the end of this, even from beginning from today, that burden will be on you. And in this Father's Day celebration, you will determine. It's not something I'm going across. I've named 3 sons, 4 sons, and 6 daughters. There's nothing like that. Be caring for people. People don't have people who care. People don't care. Look, if you like stay in the world and see that nobody cares about you. True. People walk around and so if you are rich or you are prosperous, everybody will come around as if they love you. People caring for you, it's not a common thing. Genuinely caring for no reason, nothing they will get from you, it's not common. If you like, stay in the world. I want to bet with you between now and Sunday. Let's see if you see somebody who cares about you. Who will bet with me? How do we bet? Like this. This is how you do it. Yeah. And then you cut it. And then you cut it. Will you bet with me? If you see somebody this week who cares for you, genuinely cares for you. Human beings, even when we hear announcement, okay, from today, this, we in our head, we all feel, there's another reason. It's true. We are not used to anybody caring about us, genuinely. You not get anything, but you care. Yes. So may God give you that natural care. Yes. Yeah. May God give you that natural care. You are caring for someone. He's not a rich person. He doesn't have anything. Cannot pay you back. And you know, this person in his lifetime will never pay me. Because the way it is, he can never pay. But you care. And you show love. So this is God's call to you. And one day, you know, many people will call you father. You never call them son, but they'll say, "You're my father." Today I checked my phone. It was what made me realize. I was wondering why all these texts? Because I've been trying to clear my text. And before I realized, it became a lot. Yeah. And I said they were wishing Happy Father's Day. Some people that I don't, they're not in our church. Telling me that he said, you are father, you are hard, you are strong, you are father. I said, wow. Surprise. Somebody which we said, he said, you are like a tree. Yeah. One day, somebody will point to you and tell you, you are like a tree. Yeah, tree. Mm-hmm. Couldn't move with the wind. And you stood there for us. You stood there for everything to pass and you still be standing there. May you be a father and a shepherd to many in your country, in different countries, different places. May your life not be a useless, worthless life, but a life of one who took a part of the burden, a part of the problem, and helped to solve and take the shame and the issues away from this life. Father, thank you for blessing your church with a nation of shepherds, a nation of God lovers, a nation of people who are sharing the problems that are real problems, Lord. Problems that cannot be solved. We thank you for your power that you are sending into the whole church to raise up people to become shepherds, carers of those who you died for, carers of people you love, Lord. Thank you for your love that you love us so much that you send us a shepherd and a father to our lives. We thank you. This is the greatest love you gave to us. We give you thanks and we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are listening, you want to give your life to Jesus, just pray this prayer. I want to say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to God. I want to give my life to Jesus. Say the prayer with me. You can stand up wherever you are in your house. Stand to your feet and let us pray together. I want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Say with me this simple prayer. Say, Jesus, thank you for today. Please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you. Have mercy on me. Take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. Have mercy on me. Wash me with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you pray this prayer, there's a number on the screen. You can WhatsApp to us and we are going to get right back to you. Have people been WhatsApping to this number? Yes. And we will respond to your care. What it means to become a shepherd. It's a very important one. I want everybody, because every church member is supposed to have a Makarios and everybody's supposed to have it in the e-book as well. Even if you have the e-book, you must have the physical one. It helps to remind you of the books. It's good to have e-books on your iPad, but you must have the physical, the Makarios. And you must have this book, what it means to be a shepherd. That's all I'm preaching about now. That's all that we are listening. How, and next week, God willing, how to be a shepherd. Yes, we are going deeper. Amen. But right now, the burden is coming on you to be a shepherd. Father, thank you. Lift your hand. Shepherding grace. Shepherding anointing. The end of selfishness. The end of self-centeredness. The end of narrow-mindedness. The end of inward-looking attitude. The end of only I, myself, and me. Makasuma handara malama shandala babaka. The burden. Nahabrasa la mashandala bakabasundara. Of being a shepherd. It comes upon all your children, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for raising up 1,000 shepherds, 1,000 apostles, leaders, and pastors, Lord. Alengo talbadali, korimbere ne simande le beshindo la magabaradali da. We give you praise, Father, and we give you thanks. You have raised up a great army. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. If you want to be a shepherd, to go to any nation, to serve God in any capacity, lift your hand. Father, touch people everywhere who are watching. Raise them up to be shepherds. Raise them up to be leaders. See their hands, Lord. Register them. Send your angel and lead them to where they are supposed to live, where they are supposed to be, to look after your children, look after your sheep and your lambs. We give you praise, Father. We give you honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. At this time, we are going to receive communion. I want you to stand up. Please, no eating, no food, no anything. It's time for communion, Holy Communion. After Holy Communion, we take a holy offering. Amen. Holy Communion. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and let's pray. Father, thank you for the bread, the wine. Every standing wherever you are. Every standing wherever you are.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Whoa. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
Father, thank you for the blessing as we come before the holy table. We take the bread, Lord. We lift it up. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Lord, as we partake of this holy bread, may that spirit of humility that says, here am I, send me. That spirit of humility that was in Christ, that said, as my Father sent me to this terrible, horrible people, so I send you also to such people. Lord, as we partake of this bread, may the character of Christ be our character from now. Whatever is of the seed of the serpent, let it be wiped out, and a new character come into our hearts and our lives. Thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus. Take the blood.
When I see the blood, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
When I see the blood,
oh, when I see the blood,
for the blood. It answers all the questions about why we are here and whether we should be allowed to be here after what we have done wrong and how far we have fallen from your ways. Lord, as we lift up the blood, let our past mistakes and our past wretchedness be buried forever. Even the memory, as far as the east is from the west, let the memories go. Give us new memories. Give us something better to think about. Thank you for the holiness of your holy presence. Let it descend upon us. Purge our iniquities. We ask and we thank you. The blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands for your blessing in your house. Father, I pray for healing and recovery from what is lost. Lord, as we have not been kind to people, we pray for mercy, that you be kind to us. We don't deserve kindness, but we lift our hands and we say, let kindness be shown. Let loving favor turn into our direction. May the face of the Lord shine over you and his loving favor choose you. As Mary was chosen divinely, may you be chosen. A year of being chosen, a season of being chosen by the Father which is in heaven. Whatever someone has used against you to exclude you, that you may not be chosen and that you may not be part of the great selection, the great feast, may the blood of Jesus wipe away those reasons, and may the blood that speaks better things speak on your behalf and justify your inclusion. Lift your hand and I see the word justified inclusion. Your inclusion shall be justified, not by your works, but by his blood and his payment that he has paid for you, for your inclusion. May your inclusion be justified by the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, any power or wind of exclusion that blows to exclude you and throw you away is turned around right now. It's turned into a whirlwind that goes up. You have escaped the wind, the east wind that came to blow you away. Everyone that is ill-favored and lean is turned into a fat and flourishing person today. I command and I speak to whatever is a skeleton, whatever is near to die. Revive! Revive! Be healed! I prophesy to the bones, to the flesh, and I say, be fat again. Be blessed again. Let the blessing of the Lord cover you and cover your shame. Loving favor, loving kindness is released and poured upon you from this day. Let loving favor, justified inclusion, justify your inclusion by the blood. Let it be your portion. Every exclusion is ended in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for healing. Receive healing of every viral condition, every strange diagnosis, every cancer, every pain, every painfulness, every disease, every connective tissue disorder, every eye condition, every ear condition, every heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease, stomach disease, every strange disease requiring operations, requiring multiple surgeries. We command and declare mercy and healing to fall into the houses. Mercies, Lord, mercies, extension of days, extension of years, extension of life, prolongation of days. We ask for it by the mercies of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive your supernatural recovery. Whatever ran away from you, I command it to come back to you. Whatever escaped from the house, I say, return, return, oh you. You belong here. It is coming back to you. It has been commanded to return. So it shall return. Matoda, 1,000 times more shall be your portion. Be blessed with mysteries, the mysterious blessing. And now lay your hand on your eyes. Whatever sign God shows you, even as a sign of swaddling clothes in a manger, may you from today begin to detect and to see the signs of the Lord. May you no longer be called blind, insensitive, unable to pick out the signs of the Lord. Receive grace and the spirit of revelation to pick out divine signs and indications and indicators from the Lord. From today, no one can call you blind or spiritually insensitive. Receive grace, receive help, receive supernatural power engulfing you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this blessing. And everyone said, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.